Mark 11, our brother just read these verses, and two questions are asked in this text. Two questions. The Pharisees asked the Lord a question, and the Lord asked the Pharisees a question. The title of this message is, "What is the answer?" That's what I want us to find out this morning. What is the answer? What is the answer? Look at verse 27. Mark 11, verse 27. And they, that's the Lord and His disciples, they come again to Jerusalem. And as He was walking in the temple, there come to Him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto Him, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" Now, what things are they talking about? They came and asked Him, "Who gave you the authority to do these things?" What things are they talking about? Look back at verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. He started ruining their business. And He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And He taught, saying unto them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer'? But ye have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy Him, for they feared Him, because all the people was astonished at His doctrine. He came to Jerusalem, and He went into the temple, and He tore that place apart. He absolutely tore that place apart. He purged it. He took all of that wickedness and drove it out. He drove it all out. Man, aren't you so glad God would come and do that? And then verse 19 says, "When the even was come, He went out of the city." He came into Jerusalem and He purged His temple, and then that evening He went out of the city. Now the following day, or whenever it was, verse 27 says, "And they come again to Jerusalem. And as He was walking in the temple," He went back into the temple. He was just there, and He comes back and He goes back into the temple. "As He was walking in the temple, there come to Him the chief priest and the scribes and the elders, and say unto Him, 'By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?'" Who gave you the right? That's what they said. They all got together and they said, "We're going to go talk to Him." And they walked up to Him and they said, "Who gave you the right to cast out our money changers? Who gave you the right to cast out them that sold doves?" We're worshiping the way we feel like worshiping. And who are you to condemn us? Verse 29 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'I will also ask of you one question, and answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me.'" Don't you love the authority of our Lord? Don't you love that? He does not beg and plead men to do anything. Never once did the Lord God of heaven ever beg man to do anything. He never has. He never will. He said, "You answer me." The controller controls every situation. Every single situation. He said, I'm going to ask you a question, and you answer me first, and then I'll answer you. Verse 30, he said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. The baptism of John, the confession. If the Lord is willing, tonight we're going to have an immersion, right? We have water in this. Is that holy water? That's Kingsport tap water. Is this salvation? We're going to come back tonight and witness a salvation. No, we're not. We're going to witness a confession of a salvation that was finished on the cross of Calvary. Right? And he asked the confession of John. Nowhere did our Lord say baptism is salvation. The confession of John. The message of John. The message that men and women heard from him and believed and confessed. Did God say that, or did man make it up? Did God put that message in John? What John said. What everything John said. Did God put that message in him, or did man make that up? He said, you answer me. Verse 31 says, and they reasoned with themselves. That right there is what man does. That's what man does. That's what religion does. They all want to get together and reason with themselves. We're going to really do something here. We're going to accomplish something great. All of our minds are going to get together and reason with ourselves. By nature, meaning the makeup of a human being, the mind, the heart, the will, the natural will, the natural man, by nature, men and women don't bow. They reason. That's what they do. They don't submit to God's word. God has a word. And naturally, men and women don't submit to it. They reason. But when God speaks to his people, when God speaks to his people, God chose a people. And God gave those people to Christ. And Christ redeemed those people. And in time, God sends his Spirit to those people, and God calls those people. He opens up the Word for the first time. They always knew religion. Everybody knows God. The remote village that has never seen modern man knows, well, they worship something. They're sacrificing to something. But all of a sudden, God reveals his Word. The Word starts to open up. And when God's people hear him through his Word, they bow. They bow. They hear it. They obey it. God told Abraham, now this is what he said, and you think about this. God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Isn't that what he said? Abraham did not say, well, now, Lord, it really doesn't make sense for me to go anywhere until I know where I'm going. He went. He went. God said, go. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Could you imagine packing all your stuff up? Where are you going? I don't know. God said, go. And then after that, God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, up to the top of a mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him there to me." And Abraham didn't say, "I just don't see why you want me to do this. You promised him to me, and you waited all this time to give him to me, and you told me I would have a seed that no man can number, and you told me it's going to come through him. I just cannot see how this is going to happen. If I kill him, I don't see how this is going to happen." Abraham got wood, he got fire, he got a knife, and he took his son to the top of a mountain, didn't he? He did not reason, he bowed. How could Abraham do that? God did it. He said, "My people will be willing in the day of my power. My will be their will." They'll be willing. Our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." They follow me. But he told the religious Pharisees, he said, "You don't, because you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep." And our Lord right here is talking to some self-righteous, proud religionists. And he asked them the ministry of John the Baptist, the message, the methods, the confession before God. Was it the truth or was it a lie? What John had to say about man, was that the truth or was that a lie? What John had to say about God, was that the truth or was that a lie? He said, "You answer me." Verse 31, "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, 'If we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed.'" Now in just a minute, we're going to read a verse of Scripture where the Apostle Paul said, "If I'm the servants of men, I can't be the servants of Christ." But this said, they feared the people. If we say of men, they feared the people. All men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, "We cannot tell." That's our answer. We cannot tell. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." If you're not going to answer me, I'm not going to answer you. Now, here's our question. What is the answer? Has God told us the answer? Has he revealed the answer to us? What is the answer to the Pharisees' question and to the Lord's question? Both of them. By what authority does he do these things? By what authority? And this message that John was sent with, this message that prepares the way of the Lord, is that truly of God? Is that truly of God? Is that the truth? Or is that just the imagination of man? Let's see what John actually preached, all right? Let's see what he persuaded men to believe. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What does that mean, repent? What does that mean? It means we need a changed mind. And I'm going to tell myself, and then I'm going to tell all of us. We need a changed mind. That's what man needs. That's what the world needs. We need a changed mind. John cried to the world. John cried to the world and all of the religion, all of the Jewish religion, questioned him, doubted him, hated him. But he cried to the world, we need a changed mind. Let me tell you who God is. We need a changed mind. Verse 5 says, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins. John cried, confess your sins. Don't do it to me. Don't do it to any other man. Confess them to God. We've sinned against God. If we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar. Isn't that right? He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And John cried, we must bow to that. We must bow. That's the first thing we confess. Now hold your place right here in Matthew 3 and go with me to Luke 7. We're going to come right back. Luke 7. Luke 7, verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. They all justified God. Every single one of them. They justified God in their confession. That's what David did in Psalm 51, isn't it? He justified God. He said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge it. I acknowledge it to you. I deserve whatever you do with me. Can we say that? I deserve whatever you do with me. I'm just being honest. I'm not worthy of anything. The only thing that makes me worthy is Christ. And I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge whatever you do with me, you're clear in it. You're right in it. You're justified in your judgment against me. But he said, I'm begging for mercy. I'm begging you for mercy. I'm begging for the blood of a substitute. And I believe Christ. I believe him. I believe that he came to seek and save sinners like me. I believe that. I believe that my only hope before God is in the redemption of Jesus Christ. I believe that. I acknowledge everything that God has said to be true and right. Can we say that? Or do we say, well, you know, what hope do you have? Well, my hope is that I made the decision to be baptized. September the 25th, 2016, I decided to be baptized. That's not my hope. I had a bad experience. I almost died one time. It scared me so badly, I decided to give my heart to Jesus and turn over a new leaf. That's not my hope. My hope's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood. And that's all my hope. Verse 29 says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Verse 30 says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They did not believe John's message. They did not believe John's confession. And when they rejected what John had to say, they rejected God. The reason is because John declared God's word. He declared his word. Now go with me back to Matthew 3. Verse 5 says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, who came out to him? All those preachers. All those religious leaders. And he said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Have a changed mind. He told all those preachers, have a changed message. You need to change your message. Verse 9, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to raise up stones, of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." He said, don't say, we're natural Israelites. And God saves all natural Israelites plus the elect. He said, don't say that. Verse 10, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now here's the question being asked. Is that true or not? Is that true or not? Is that of God? That's what John said, right? Is that of God or not? Is God going to do that? Is he really going to do that? I don't hear anybody preaching that too much anymore. Do you? So is it still true? Is it still true? Is God really going to do that? Is he really going to burn up the chaff, all those who have not bowed to Christ, all those who don't believe on Christ and were not put in Christ? Is he really going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire? Look with me over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians 1 verse 6. "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." He said, you rest because God put faith in you to believe on Christ. And he said, when he comes, he's coming in flaming fire. That's what John preached, didn't it? Sounds like John got his message from God. That is indeed what's going to happen. That's what will happen. Now let me show you what else John said. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There's our answer. John's message, John's baptism, John's confession. Was that of God? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Boy, old John was Rolf Barnard. And all those preachers came in their good robes, you know, and they had all their collars turned around backwards and all that kind of stuff. And they walked up to him saying, "Hello, brother, how are you today?" He said, "Generation of vipers, be warned." Boy, he shocked some people, didn't he? He did not have the message they thought he was going to have. They all went to, you know, they communed with themselves. They reasoned with themselves saying, "Nobody else is preaching like he is." There was a man sent of God, sent from God, whose name was John. Verse 7 says, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." That's Christ. Now you see, this message of fear, this message of terror is called the truth. Wouldn't you love to know the truth and somebody tell you, "It's going to be fine. You're going to cross over that river and it's going to be fine." And then all of a sudden you cross over and you realize, "I was lied to." This reality of eternity, this reality of meeting this holy God is called the truth. But if there was no hope attached to it, God would have never sent John. Men would just go meet him and he'd deal with them. But God in mercy sent a man with a message. And verse 7 says, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of Jesus Christ the light, that all men through him might believe." John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Who is Jesus Christ? Jehovah God. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Who is God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." That's the sin. John said, "We must repent of this." Verse 11, "He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood." Salvation is not in a family tree, nor of the will of the flesh. No man or woman can get me saved. Nor of the will of man. I cannot decide to save myself. This is what John was crying. The end of verse 13 says, "But of God." But of God. Salvation is of God. John pointed men to the way of salvation. And it's of God. It's of God. Verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John bare witness of Him. It's the whole reason John came. He bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 23, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. That's the whole reason I'm here. He said, that's the only message I have. It's the only message I have. John said, it's him. It's him. It's only him. He's the only way. Look at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the only way. He's the only way. John said, men and brethren, we're going to meet this holy God. We have sin on us. We must acknowledge it. It's there. It's there. But he's the only one who can remove it. He's the only one who can deal with the sin of his people. And over in chapter 3, verse 36, this is what he said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He said it all hinges on Jesus Christ. All of it. Now, is what John confessed of God, is everything he said of God, did God, we're going to go into eternity, did God make the promise of salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ? Did God really say, is this true? Did he really say, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you? Did he really say that? Is the message of mercy, this message of mercy and grace, is that truly of God? Is this true or not? And we're going to find the answer, and I'm going to close with this. As though we haven't already found the answer. We found the answer, haven't we? We know the answer. But we're going to see it again in Galatians 1. Go with me over to Galatians 1. Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men. Is this of men? Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Who gave Christ the authority to do that? Where did he get the authority to do that? By what authority? Verse 4 says, according to the will of God and our Father. Everything Christ did, everything he accomplished, was on the authority of God Almighty. Every bit of it. He said, this is the Father's will. This is the Father's will. Of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. Raise it up again at the last day. He said it was all on the authority of God. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servants of Christ. They all said, we can't tell. He said, you tell me, is this of God or is this of man? They said, they feared the people. We're afraid of the people. So we're going to say we can't tell. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers, but when it pleased God. That's when it happened. That's when it happened. I love thinking about that for my own sinful self. There I was going, running down my path, running down my way. But when it pleased God, when God in the goodness and kindness of his heart, when God in, why did God save me? Well, I was a good person. No, I wasn't. Not according, you know, all I'm doing is reading this word. Am I making this up? This wickedness of man, is that of God or is that of man? Am I making this up? This word is so honest about sinful man, and that is me. And that was me. But God, in love and in mercy, all I can say is, why me? He reached way down. He laid a hold of me. Verse 15 says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. I didn't separate myself. He separated me. Verse 15 says, and called me by his grace. I didn't call myself. He called me. Verse 16 says, to reveal his son in me. I didn't quicken myself. He quickened me. He gave me life. He revealed Christ, the way, the truth, and the life in me. He did it. That I might preach him among the heathen. That's all John the Baptist did. He preached Christ among the heathen. He preached the way to the lost. He preached the forgiver to the sinner. He preached life to the dead. And when God's children hear that message, they say, that's of God. That's of God. No, I don't hear that much, but I see it. I believe it. I hear it. And that's of God. That is the truth. Now, this is it. I promise. We're done. I'm going to close in John 10. Go with me to John 10. I want to close by asking every single one of us in this room one question. One question. Let's all answer it in our heart. One question. This message that prepares the way of the Lord. This message that cries salvation is totally of the Lord. Completely of the Lord. This message that increases the Lord Jesus Christ and decreases sinful man. Is that of God? Is that of God? Is that the only true confession there is? Can we say with these people right here in John 10, verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. That's what they said. We heard John, and now we've seen him. And everything John had to say about this man is true. Every single bit of it. If we can say that, our Lord said, blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father which is in heaven, it's of God. It's of God. If we have a heart to bow, not reason with this word, believe it, bow to it, that's of God. It means God has done something. He's revealed the Lamb John kept talking about. He's revealed that Lamb. Sinners who behold the Lamb, when they see why he was slain and what he accomplished, they say, that's of God. That is truly of God. It's all of God. Those Pharisees answered. He asked them that question and they said, we can't tell. You ask, go out and ask somebody this question. Did Jesus Christ die for every soul on earth? You know what they'll tell you a lot of times? Well, I don't know. They'll say yes, or they'll say, I don't know. I'm not sure if God hadn't revealed it to them. And he asked them, what do you have to say about this? And the Pharisees said, we can't tell. What do we say? Has God convinced us of the answer? Start to finish, to the praise of the glory of his grace, it's all of God. Salvation is all of God, every ounce of it. All right, let's stand together.